A toxic trap princess, a charmingly unhinged peasant boy, and an ancient hot moth girl. What more could a book need? Well, in this episode, we tell you. Quick heads up, Chloe did record this episode remotely from Narnia, so it's a little grainy on her side, but fear not, I did most of the mansplaining to her. But regardless, please join us for this discussion about the pretty neat YA novel, Girl, Serpent, Thorn.
Welcome to In Media Les, a podcast about queer relationships in media. I'm Chloe.
And I'm Val.
Today, we'll be discussing the novel Girl, Serpent, Thorn by Melissa Bashardust. This novel is a fantasy novel using Persian kind of mythology about a girl who's cursed by a div, which is the Persian word for like a demon or a devil or an imp, perhaps. And she falls in love with a div, and there's some complications. So, Val, you had thoughts about this book.
I do have thoughts about this book.
Should I do the summary first?
Yes.
Okay. I was just checking if you had any initial opinions you wanted to get off your chest. So, this girl's about Saraya, who's the sister of the Shah, the ruler, and she's cursed. The curse is that she can't touch anyone or they die. And she's been cursed her whole life. And, you know, we don't really... We have one story, which is the story the mom tells, which is that it was a curse that the Deeps put on Saraya because the mom didn't... I forget, it's like she didn't return in time or she didn't leave in time or something.
No, so the story is there was a child who found a fairy in the forest.
Yeah.
And she freed the fairy, but it turns out that a div captured that fairy and he found that child and basically cursed her that the girl's firstborn daughter would be cursed. So that's like the story that Saraya knows.
You think I have to do the summary? That was very good.
Thank you. That's like...
Yes.
I have a lot of thoughts. I actually have crafted a little, like, list to talk about certain things. So I'm, like, for the first time doing Chloe stuff.
Okay. So the story is that Saraya is kind of trapped in the palace. Her brother promotes a new soldier named, it's Azed, right?
Azad.
So Azad, you know, basically works his way into Saraya's graces. He's very flirty with her. He says all the right things and supports her trying to find a solution to her curse. She goes to talk with the captured div, who is named Poravane, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just checking to make sure I'm like pronouncing that right. Like I should know Parvane. That's what it is. I should know Persian names. I don't. My dad never taught me Farsi. Blame him. Azad helps her try and find a solution. The div that she goes to talk to is a div called a parik, which comes from the Persian word pari, which is kind of like...
A fairy.
Yeah, a fairy. A fae.
It's because she's gay.
And Parvane tells Saraya that, like, oh, you can get cured for your curse. You just have to get the phoenix feather that protects your family. And the phoenix, Seamorg, is the Persian phoenix, basically.
Mm-hmm.
It's a mythical bird that is a good bird.
It's a good bird, and it basically is like, here's this feather, fam.
Yeah.
Put it in fire, and you'll be safe.
You. Yeah, it really is. I mean, if you need it really is just a phoenix.
And Parvane's like, you just need that feather. And Azad's like, babe, I'm going to help you get that feather.
Yeah. And so they come up with a plan. It involves them doing some stuff, but they come up with a plan to steal the feather. And then she does, and she cures herself. And that's when Azad reveals that he is not Azad, but is in fact the Shamar. Is it Shamar? I forget what it was.
I think so. He's still Azad.
yeah, he's still, Azad was his name, but like he's the bad guy, basically.
He's like the king of demons.
Yeah, so he had been the Shah at one point, but
Soraya's family kind of took care of him and took over.
Yeah, and he like basically sold his soul to become a part of a Div and took over the Divs. And now he has a plan. He wants to wants Soraya to marry him, and he's going to take over the kingdom using an army of Divs, which they're pretty successful at. Like, they pretty much instantly conquer the...
Yeah, like a third of the book, they're there.
Yeah. And then the Shamar takes Soraya and takes her to Mount...
Oh my god. Demon.
Arzur, right? Or no, Azar is the name of the land of the demons, but...
I'm not sure. I listened to this book, so I never actually had words in front of me. They just called it, like, the mountain most of the time, so that's what I remember it as.
Abhors, Mount Abhors. Yeah, takes her to the mountain. There he, like, tries to woo her, basically, by showing her, like,
here are all the cool things you could do now that you're not poisonous anymore.
Yeah, and you can be my wife, and I'll be your wife guy. I don't know. but anyways, he basically says, like, okay, if you join me, you have to kill your brother, and then you can be my queen. And there's a lot of her thinking about crossing him versus not, and she frees the other Pariks, and she goes back for Parvaneh, but there's...
This is a very confusing summary.
It's just like she just like keeps deciding, can't decide who she wants to betray
at any
given point.
The whole book is her not doing anything, Chloe. She doesn't do anything.
For a protagonist, she has very little agency.
It's not even agency. She has all the opportunity. The first obstacle that even hints at being in front of her, she's like, oh, I can't do that anymore. Never mind. Ugh. Yeah. I have a lot of thoughts.
Yeah. Anyway, so basically, she comes up with a plan. Not really.
The best way to put this is there's this male wife guy and this hot lesbian, right?
Yeah.
And both of them are characters from her stories, basically, in a way.
Yes. Yeah.
And she has to decide whose side she's on, which the whole time she's on Parvaneh's side and on her family's side. But, like, the guy's hot, so she's like, occasionally, you know? And... Yeah. Like, the whole book is, she's just trying to fix her mistake of stealing that feather, because that feather protected her family and kingdom. It's like dealing with the consequences of her single bad action. And this book had the capacity to be so amazing, and it dropped the ball so many times. It needed, like, 4 more content edits, and it would have been beautiful. But as of now, I personally found it to be okay. Like, I didn't hate reading it or anything, but I wasn't, like, excited to resume listening to the book.
Okay.
It was just like, I have free time, let me listen to it, because we're doing an episode. Like, I didn't mind it, but it could have been so good. It had so many elements in it that, like, started and then never came back around. And I think that's the thing that made me the most upset. Okay, I got my first thought out.
Okay. I mean, I think I mostly agree with what you're saying. I think the only thing that was, like, good about it for me in particular is, like, it's Persian mythology. Like, when do you see, like, a same-sex romance Persian mythology book?
Yeah, the concept of this is really cool. I was really excited to read this. And I think that excitement carried me through reading the book. But the whole time I was hoping that, like, something would happen, that there would be, like, a climax to this story. But
there really isn't, is there?
No. So obviously we're going to talk about spoilers. So this is the first and probably biggest spoiler in the end. There's the big battle where Azad has Soraya, where Azad brings Soraya back to the kingdom, tells her to kill her brother, and then they're going to get married while covered in her brother's blood.
Yeah.
And they're there, and Soraya is like, haha, I've been lying and I'm not on your side. And Azad is like, babe, I know. And then she's like, and now you're gonna die. And like the whole plan, quote unquote, comes into play. They kept taking turns on deciding who gets to kill him.
Yeah.
Like the sequence of them killing him was so boringly tedious.
Okay. How would you have done it better? Let's be constructive.
Well, okay, one of the biggest pet peeves I had in my master's program is when people would write action scenes and then have dialogue. Because when you're reading it, when you're writing, it probably doesn't feel like it. But when you're reading a fight scene and then the characters are just having like page-long discussions in between every move, there's no pacing there.
It's very anime.
I guess, but it doesn't work in this book.
Yeah.
And like, it would make sense if they were discussing something actually interesting, but it's like they've been saying the same exact lines the whole book. There was nothing revealed in those conversations. There's nothing discovered. Nothing about the words that were said elevated the scene in any way. It just slowed it down. And it went from Soraya, it went to Parvane. I think at some point it went to Soraya's best friend's brother trying to kill him. I don't remember for sure.
Yeah.
And then, guess who my favorite character is?
I'm always so bad at this.
You're probably not going to guess it.
It's the brother's friend.
No, it's the mom. She's the only one in the story that does things. She's the true hero.
Tahame, I think. Ataname? Her name's something like that.
Yeah, I don't remember her name. But like, out of all the characters, the whole time, she's actually literally the only person that like says she's going to do a thing and she does the thing.
Yeah.
And in the end, she's the one that kills him because he's the one that in the beginning cursed her.
Right.
Like, it basically started where it ended, in a sense. And the person who kind of deserved that final blow did get it, which I was like, thank God, something about this book is awesome. But, like, that final battle, I felt nothing for it. I was tired by that point of Soraya basically being... The whole book, she made zero decisions. She made zero actions. She was just walking from place to place. And I think the only argument that is in her headspace at any moment is like, do I betray this dude? Yeah, yeah, I'm gonna betray him. And then 3 pages later, it's like, I should betray him. Yeah. Okay, yeah, I'm gonna betray him. And then like 3 pages later, she's like, I think I'm gonna betray him. I'm like, okay, we get it. You wanna betray him. Just do it. Like, do something. Okay, that is my biggest... Like, that's the thing that really put me over the edge.
I'm just gonna let you go. You're doing this. You're doing such a good job. Keep going.
There was another... Okay, I feel like they really missed out on a couple of things. I'm just gonna keep going. I'm sorry.
Just keep going. Just take it away.
I'm gonna say something that I really liked in this book.
Okay.
I liked how nonsensical really the geography is. It's a kingdom, and it's the evil kingdom. Like, that was cool. That's magical realism. I don't care where they're traveling, if there's a forest there, whatever, right? Like, I like that they are in one place, and then they go for a walk, and they're in the other place. Like, that is a fairy tale. That felt very cool to me. Because, like, it's already wasting so much space on them talking about the same stuff, and nothing happening, that, like, I don't want them walking and nothing happening.
Yeah.
I really loved the aspect of them being in one place, and then in the other place, and then, like, being in this... weird, like, conceptual underworld that's actually just like a tomb. Like, it was a lot of really cool locations.
Yeah.
As a world builder, I would have loved a little more details on them, but I also really liked how hazy they are, because that's like how fairy tales work.
It's mythological. It doesn't make sense. All the demons live in a mountain that's like half a day away.
Yeah. And nothing else exists. Like, that was so fun. The thing that really like tripped me up is Melissa wrote in this character, the priest that ran away.
Yeah.
He was part of the Yatu people, I think. Is that what they're called? Yatu?
He's a Yatu, a sorcerer. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there were hints of him, like, running away to be with other sorcerers like that, to be with other Yatu. He was the only one, right? And I understand the concept of, like, they went to him to get the key to everything, like, to get the answer to the riddle kind of thing. Yeah. And then he's no longer a part of the story. But I was curious about having more of these wizards in there. They hinted at him having powers, and then, like, he never used them, and we never saw them. So that's one of the things that left me wanting, and I was like, how would I put it into the story? Well, we have a place that's full of thieves. We find out that they're actually not that... They don't care about Azad being their leader. him being their leader just allows for more prey for them. So it's easier to hunt now. So they're just like using him. They're not actually servants to him. It would have been fun to have the Yatu be the servants to them and have those demons be more chaotic, but still part of a cohesive army.
Yeah.
Because it was weird to me when Saraya is walking around this mountain and all the Deevs are like, hey, you're cool. Azad is a square. And then, like, they serve him so obediently, where there are several scenes where they're just, like, wild beasts. For me, I feel like the story would have been cooler if Melissa leaned into the chaotic nature of those Deevs instead of making them, like, proper soldiers. Because she had already created the perfect servants for Deevs, and then she never used them. That was one of the biggest things that bothered me. Like, there were Deevs serving Saraya the whole book.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? They don't like doing this. They don't care about this. They're just there because it makes their life easier. They're not servants. They're warriors. They're, like, creatures that invade and manipulate and, like, kill. Why would they bring her, like, a platter of food and then obediently bow and leave? Like, it made no sense. That's the thing that really, like, bothered me.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. I got the first rant out.
Okay, should I start talking about you catch your breath? So yes. I totally agree. I think the Deevs are a missed opportunity, especially because they establish that there's, like, some heterogeneity between the Deevs. Like, we learn that the Pariks, for instance, who are kind of, I guess, neutral Deevs in a lot, they're kind of not evil the way that most of the Deevs seem to be.
Well, they're the only ones that really are able to pass as humans.
Yes. Well,
Not even, but they're the most humanoid, because there was, like, a whole explanation, and I actually kind of liked the explanation. It was a little cumbersome, but as far as, like, exposition within a book goes, it was pretty well done.
Yeah. In Persian mythology, there's other deeds that are supposed to be able to pass as human, but regardless, I just would have liked to see, like, it alludes to the fact that there are different types of Deevs, and I would have liked to see, like, more of that. Like, to me, this is less, like, this book, like, the plot is whatever. It's whatever, mm-hmm. as you are going to continue to criticize about it. The thing that's exciting to me is the world building and, you know, seeing the Persian mythological figures and seeing, you know, the Deevs and the Sea Morgue and all that. And I wanted to see more of that. And less of Saraya doing this, will I or won't I betray, I don't know, whoever's in the room right now for 100 pages.
It's weird because it wasn't even will I or won't I. It's like, I will.
Or not even how should tomorrow. I. It's just like, I'm going to do it. I was thinking about this because I knew, you know, you had messaged me. I knew this was going to be one of your criticisms. And I do think, like, just based on the stories I was told growing up from my dad, is that a lot of, like, Persian mythology puts a lot of emphasis on the hero really thinking things through and, like, waiting. And, you know, like, a lot of it is about just, like, because one of the stories I remember is just, like, this very lengthy description of how this guy who's facing an overwhelming army prepares all these smart things to win against that army. And it's all about, it's like, it's a very trite story in a way that feels similar to this, in that, like, it's just all about coming up with these preparations and everything happens okay at the end because he prepared a lot and waited until the right time to do everything.
Well, and we have an aspect of that in Baru, right?
Yeah,
the whole book is she's been planning. Most of the time, we have no idea what she's, like, doing. She just sends out letters and, like, talks to people. And then in the end, it kind of comes together.
Do you think that's because we don't know what's going... But, like, I think the difference might be that with Baru, there is kind of... I don't want to spoil Baru because we're not talking about Baru. But what happens at the end is so surprising, whereas I feel like what happens at the end of this one is exactly what you would expect.
Well, here's my question.
Yeah.
Do you think it would have been better? Because I personally am a strong proponent of this, like, I guess, solution to this issue in the book. Saraya should have had a lot of conversations with Deeves.
Yeah.
Because there were specifically those that were the I best remember.
Parts.
Yeah. There were two really like mythologically famous Deeves that were introduced.
Yeah.
And they were in the background, like across the room from her, and we never saw them again.
Yeah. There's the like undead one.
Yeah. And then there's the creepy looking corpse and yeah, the big guy with like the mallet.
Yeah, so basically there's like the Persian equivalent of, I forget their names, but like, you know, one's mm-hmm. basically an ogre and one's basically undead.
Like a lich.
Yeah.
And like the fact that she didn't go to them when she realized that they have no respect for Azad, but they kind of respect her. If she talked to them, the end would have been so much better. Because in the end, she protects everyone. She saves the Deeves and she saves her kingdom. Which could have been really, really, really cool if in the story we became invested in the lives of the Deeves as well.
Yeah.
Right? If we met these characters, if we saw how they see the world. We only see Parvaneh and Azad, both of whom are so separated from that culture. Azad was a human and Parvaneh was literally excommunicated from her family, from her people.
Yeah.
So we have these three outsiders, which in theory should have worked. And we have all of these little elements that are already in the story. They're there. They're set up. We have the Yatu that worship Deeves. We have Deeves that don't like their leader, who think that he's a loser. We have Parvaneh, who's been around for centuries, but is made a teenager for the, you know, for us to be ethically comfortable with this triangle. So
it's definitely very peak, like, anime, like, oh, she might look like she's like 15, but actually she's 3,000 years old.
Yeah, but don't worry, she actually is 15 because she got killed 15 years ago and was reborn, so it's all good. Which I really like. I think it's hilarious. I love it. It's campy. But we had all of these elements, and then like none of them were used, and every single time an opportunity was missed, I was so upset at the editors. I was so upset at the editors because as a writer, we get into our story. We miss things. We're like in our heads, it's different than what's on the page sometimes. And when we reread it to edit whatever, like sometimes we miss the big glaring errors because we already have the complete picture in our like in our head. It's the job of an editor to be like, hey, this scene doesn't work really well because we have these other things set up that never come into play. And they didn't do that for this book, which I feel really robbed it of just being amazing. I turned on the air conditioning and I am sweating right now.
Okay, do we need to take five?
No.
Okay.
It's cool in my room, but I am heated because I'm so invested in this story and I wanted it to be really good.
I'm amazed a little bit about how much you're getting to, cause to me, I read it, I was like, yeah, it's not like the best ever, but it's fine. And I like the mythology. And that was like about all the thought I put into it, to be honest. And you really thought this through, like you, which I think is a good thing. I think it means you were invested. You really enjoyed this and you want it to be better.
Here's the thing. The writing was really good. Because yeah, there's like the books that I listen to sometimes, there are, you know, there are clunky sections. The writing, usually it's good, but like there are parts where I'm like, oh, they could have just edited this section a little bit more. This book, I listened to it. It was smooth as butter. It was really, really well written. But, like, it's just, like, three or four critical moments where something was missed, despite it being in the story already. And that really, like, made me upset. I still have several points to go through.
Okay, okay.
But
keep going,
I want to give you the space.
I don't have that much to say compared to you. To me, it's just like, I liked it. There was a Deeve. There was a Seamorg. I always heard stories about Seamorg growing up.
Okay. I think I'm ready to get into Azad.
Okay. Okay. I mean, hopefully not literally.
Well, no. Here's the thing. a lot of times the dudes in stories really piss me off.
Yeah.
Like, when I read The Hunger Games, I really liked Gale, hated Peeta.
Okay, so you were on Team Gale?
No, I was on Team Katniss gets with no one because she's depressed and, like, traumatized and is dead inside and she has to heal instead of being like, who will I marry? But
okay, well, that's a different real story. Real quick.
Uh-huh, yeah.
I want to explore your other, you know, like, teenage
ships. The teams? Okay, yeah.
So let's say Jacob versus Edward.
I liked Team Jacob until he imprinted on her daughter, and then I was like, gross. And then okay. Eddie won that.
Okay. I am endlessly fascinated that you were able to pull that Twilight plot point, just like...
Oh, I finished those books in like a week.
Oh my god.
I didn't even like reading at that point, and I was invested in those books. I remember nothing that happens in it. I just remember that scene where, like, Edward is walking with her at night, and it's creepy. I don't know what happened. I don't know if she knew he was walking with her or if she didn't. Whatever it was about that scene, it was creepy. That's all I remember. I loved those books.
Okay. So would you compare Azad to Jacob or Edward?
Honestly, I would compare him to, like, a really cool version of Warren that I don't hate from Life is Strange.
Okay. He is such a dorky loser. Azad or Warren?
Azad.
Okay.
Warren is a creepazoid. So we have this dude. We learn his backstory. He was also manipulated into killing his family, in a sense, by Parvaneh, no less.
Yeah.
Because he captured her, and she's like, well, yeah, you can get powers if you bathe in the blood of a Deev's heart. Which we have her give two main characters the key to their success that ends with bad consequences, which I love. We should have a third because rule of three, but whatever. Yep. So Parvaneh is just like getting in everyone's business. Love her. She gave nothing the whole story. She continues giving nothing. She's just like, I'm here to hang out and make out with people. But Azad basically, like, this random guy told his dad that Azad can't rule because if he rules, bad things happen. So his dad's like, you're not going to go to school. And Azad got upset and he's like, can I please go to school, daddy? And his daddy's like, no, because you're going to be an evil boy. And he's like, but I'll be an evil boy because you don't let me go to school. And he killed his family, took over the kingdom, basically using this Deev power that Parvaneh gave him. We have this character who was manipulated into his powers, who grew to really like these powers because it made him powerful, right? That's what powers do. And he could have been so evil and so complicated. And he was just kind of like a loser.
He's just an incel.
Okay, I actually really liked how... I really loved him in the beginning when we didn't know who he was. When he was just like this peasant boy that got granted a position in the royal guard. Because he was following Soraya around. And he's like, I'm really delusional. Because to me, you're a fairy tale that I grew up hearing about. And I really want to save the princess who's locked away in the castle. And he's telling it to her face. And he, like, killed people in front of her because he's like, no, I'm just protecting you, right? So it was really, really cool to see this sociopathic character who's, like, in a sense, good because he is on Soraya's side and he's doing everything she asks. On the other hand, he's unhinged. If he was a woman, Chloe, I would have been in love.
It's so true.
I really like
Azad. You guys don't even know.
I really like Azad's character. And then when he finally became a Deev again, when he revealed himself. I'm a child. When he revealed who he was, and he became worse. Like, not in the sense of he got more evil, but in the sense of, like, he kind of stopped being evil. He could have still been unhinged. He could have still had those, like, he's supposed to be paranoid. He's supposed to be, you know, very guarded and very selfish. And he was guarded and selfish in the beginning of the book. He's like, you're going to be my girlfriend because I want you to be my girlfriend. So I'm going to be really charming in front of you.
Yeah.
And that immediately stopped when he revealed that he was the big, bad, evil boy. Every single time he's like, I'm going to go kill your brother. She's like, can you do it tomorrow? And he's like, okay. Like, there should have been other solutions to him not killing her brother. She should have used clever tactics, clever tricks. Like, you actually can't kill him today because then the kingdom, you know, I don't know, it's like a holy holiday or something. You know, there could have been a thing that she would trick him into every time, just like in fairy tales.
Yeah.
To prevent him from killing her family until she was ready to spring her trap, which she's not a planner. She has no brain cells. The only brain cell in this story is the mom has it. And then there's one shared one between Azad and Parvaneh. And they just kind of traded the whole book.
Yeah. So two brain cells in total.
Two brain cells in total. So Azad could have been excellent if his characterization stayed consistent. Because he was crazy in the beginning. I think I messaged you.
Very cool.
I messaged you. What did I say? I spoiled it. I was like, evil lady versus sus peasant boy, and a lot of like dilating pupil eyes. Because I was very excited because Azad felt off. And then Parvaneh, who's this like demon in the dungeon who's giving her little kernels of truth and little clues as to what's happening. Imagine if the whole book had that complexity.
Yeah.
Like the first third of the book, awesome. Just awesome. And then it went downhill.
Cause it just doesn't stick the landing.
It doesn't because Saraya doesn't, she doesn't think. She has no brain, zero thoughts. And okay, the thing that bothered me.
Okay.
In the very one thing. Just the singular thing that bothered me is in the end, they really started pushing the idea that she was jealous of her best friend, the girl who's marrying her twin brother.
Whose name was like Servazi, I think.
Her name is like Ilya or it was like a weird or
whatever.
Some weird like tertiary hot chick name. But the whole book, she's like, she's my best friend and I'm upset that her brother kept her away from me because we could have hung out for years. Instead, she was just like not around and that made me sad. But then in the last third of the book, they just kind of kept saying that she has a dark heart because she's poisoned on the inside because she's very jealous of this young girl who lived with her. And like, that was never a part of it in the beginning at any point. Like, not even once. Ever. And I was like, where's this coming from?
It's very out of left field. I think it does feel like they're trying to... Melissa is the name of the author? was trying to set up this... I don't know.
I feel like
she's trying to make Saraya more interesting than she is.
Yeah. I think she tried to have it be like a reveal that actually she was really upset at this young woman.
Yeah.
In the end, and that's why she's having such
a
difficult decision.
Okay, interesting.
I think it was supposed to be. That's what it felt like to me in the moment. I was like, did they try to make it seem... Because that's when she was the most conflicted about what to do.
Yeah.
Which is the weirdest part, like, the weirdest moment to be the most conflicted is when you are about to kill your brother. And, like, the whole time she's like, I'm not gonna kill my brother. And they made sure to say that her brother is actually a really cool guy and a good leader and everyone loves him.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm gonna make people be able to vote or something. It was just like, there's just one line where he's like, I want to make my father's dream of making this kingdom accessible to every citizen a possibility, like a reality. I'm working on it. I'm so excited. And then like he never talks again. And I'm like, okay, we have his character down. We know what he's about. He's just like a good king. Yeah. That's his trope. He's just a good king. Yeah. We don't need to worry about him anymore. He's just chilling.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think they tried to cram a lot of like little fixes in the end, and that made it worse because there are some fixes that didn't need to be there.
I agree.
Continue. No. You.
Okay. No, I mean, it's good. What you're saying is cool, which is why I'm not interrupting you, because, like, I haven't really disagreed with anything that you've said. I just totally, like, I don't know. This was just a shiny thing, and to me, like, I enjoyed it, but...
I did like listening to it.
Let me say this. Okay. Mm-hmm. How would you rewrite the ending?
Oh, man.
What would be more satisfying? Let me... Mm-hmm. You want me to take a stab first, and you can tell me how wrong I am, because you have much stronger opinions than I do.
Sure.
I feel like Saraya, you know, we learn that the Deevs don't really like the Shamar all that much. They think he's fine because he's leading them to, like, victory, but they don't really see him as one of them, and they see Soraya as one of them. So she comes to some kind of arrangement with some of the Deevs, but not all of them. And then she leads those Deevs against the Shamar, and, you know, the Deevs are all fighting each other, and she uses the chaos of that to rescue her brother. And then, you know, there's no, like, ethical choice at the end, or like, oh, you're really dark with, like, all of us. You know, you're a Deev too. It's just like, yeah, she knows she's going to do the right thing. That was never in doubt. She does the right thing by being clever and falls in love with Barvanet, and that's the end. You don't have to, it didn't need to be this whole ethical dilemma for her. Like, it was never in doubt, and I don't know why you had to pretend it was.
Yeah, that's, okay. You put it into words perfectly. Yes. That is the whole thing. Yes. She always knew what she was going to do.
Yes. Melissa, I feel like maybe was told it was too simple, and so had to pretend, had to hoist this ethical dilemma that really didn't exist into it. And I don't think it benefits from that. I think if just keep it simple. Mm-hmm. Anyways, you rewrite the ending.
I really, really agree with your ending. It's like, that was why I was making that argument of the Deevs should have been more chaotic and less, like, a cohesive, like, unit.
Because they basically just function like this polished military whenever they're on screen, aside from, like, the moments we saw where they were like, no, actually, we're just a bunch of monsters. Like, we don't care about our Shamar or anything. And, like, they say that, but then, like, in actions, they listen to every single thing he says. Exactly. They function, like, perfectly as, like, this fighting force. And there's never a moment where, like, we see that the Deevs are maybe a little unreliable. Like, maybe they don't want to stand guard duty over the humans. They just want to go eat the human. Like, there's nothing like that. It's just always, like, oh, yeah, we don't like, you know, the Shamar. We just want this because we're going to, you know, conquer the humans. And then it's just like that same Deev is like, yeah, I'll stay on guard and be like a perfect soldier. You're the boss, Mr. Shamar. It's just like their actions do not square with their words.
Yeah, exactly. How would I change the ending? I think in the end, that final like action sequence had a lot of fumbling around.
Yeah.
Like Soraya fumbles, Parvaneh fumbles. That random mean dude that hates her fumbles.
Yeah, the friend's brother.
Which, why was he there? If that was how it was going to get resolved. We'll get back to that. I would have had, honestly, after Azad was pricked with the feather and, like, and his curse was removed, I would have had it take slowly. Like, as they're fighting him, he's becoming more and more human. That could have been interesting. They also could have been fighting him at the same time. Like, Soraya could have been goading him with her words, because that's what she's supposed to technically be able to do. Because the whole time she's apparently supposed to talk to people and, like, make things happen, because she can't, she doesn't do anything.
Right.
She's just like a beanbag.
A beanbag, I like that.
You know the lamp test?
If the character were replaced with a lamp.
Yeah.
In a scene, like,
yeah. It shouldn't work with a main character, and here it does.
Yeah, it totally does, doesn't it? There's several scenes where it's just like, if this was a lamp, nothing would have changed.
Yeah, which is upsetting. They could have made her cool.
The main character.
They could have... She's worse than the chick from Orange is the New Black.
Oh, Piper?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chapman.
But she's supposed to be the worst, though, Piper.
Yeah.
Like I always, I hear that criticism of, sorry, we're going into Origins of the New Black territory right now, but, like, I always hear that criticism, like, people are like, oh, but Piper is so unlikable. It's like, yeah, you're not supposed to like her. That's the whole point. She's this silly wasp of a woman who, like,
is invading this world of, like, the people who are arrested for very complex reasons.
Right. And she's supposed to be judgmental and awful, because that's what she's, that's the whole point. Mm-hmm. Like, and people don't get that. They want her to be, like, sympathetic. And it's like, no.
No, she sucks.
She's awful. But that's the whole point. It's the same thing. Like, it's the same thing where dudes don't get, like, the point of Breaking Bad or the Joker or Fight Club.
It's like he's supposed to be a bad person.
You're not supposed to worship the Joker. He's a bad guy.
Yeah, like, Walter gets his comeuppance so many times, consistently throughout the whole story, and like the whole show was just you being like, how is he living like this? He should just quit and like it'll be fine.
He does with this point though, is he does so many bad things not because he has to, but because he wants to.
Exactly.
Anyway,
he grows to like it, and it's like Soraya could have been that.
Yeah, this has been,
she wasn't.
Girl Serpent Breaking Thorn. Or Thorn is the new black, I don't know.
Girl, anyway. Orange meth.
Orange meth.
Mm-hmm. It's citrusy.
That new fruit flavor.
Just in time for Pride Month.
Yeah. Happy Pride.
Oh, we are losing it.
Yeah, okay. Girl Serpent Thorn.
Yeah, so I would have just had him very slowly transform back to human and become more and more powerless.
Yeah.
And with Soraya kind of really hurting him with her words, and then Parvane really beating him down after, like, centuries of him physically torturing her, which we just kind of skipped over. But, like, he has physically tortured her for centuries, is what we have from this story. Like, she was mutilated by him. So him slowly losing his powers as these two people who really, really destroyed everything about him are coming at him, and then the mom doing the final blow, like, that would have been awesome. Because that would have been just, like, that scene of everything came together, everything, like, resolved in the most ethically satisfying way. Because this book doesn't kill people, which is fine, which...
she kills someone.
She does kill someone. And that was supposed to be a huge thing, and it still didn't go anywhere. Like, it could have been used better. But, like, for the most part, no one really dies, except for, like, a random dude that gives him a clue and then attacks them, and she accidentally,
Some people are implied to have died off-screen.
Yeah, like guards.
Yeah, but they're not named. The only, like, named character who dies is killed by Soraya, I think.
Mm-hmm. And then we have Azad, of course, but, like...
Yeah.
That doesn't count. But yeah, like, this is a book where killing people is not a part of it. Like, we talk about a lot of books where death is, like, a really used tool in a story.
Yeah.
In this story, that's not a part of it. Just that one death really affected Soraya, and, you know, that made sense. And it was a moment of character growth. I wish she had more of those. But, like, that would have been a really good ending for me. Just them coming together and destroying this, like, great evil, quote-unquote. So I think we're in agreement with how we would
change the ending. Yeah, I just don't have too much to add. Like, I'm just like, I totally agree with you on this. So let me ask you this. I know I've been asking a lot of questions, but I feel like you have the stronger opinions by far.
Okay.
Would you recommend this book to others?
Okay.
Putting her on the spot. She has been called out.
It is a difficult question, because if I ever do recommend it, it would be more of a, I've lectured you for 3 hours.
Yeah.
And you couldn't escape. So now I'm saying, read this book and see if you agree with my analysis of it. It wouldn't be like, hey, this is a fun read.
Okay.
I feel like anyone I would recommend this book to would already be coming into it with, like, this chick just yelled at me for 3 hours and told me to read this book. So I'm probably not going to be very successful at it.
Okay.
But that would probably be the situation in which I would recommend it.
Okay.
It's not, like, that's the thing, like, it's not a bad book.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say it was bad. I just would call it unpolished.
Okay.
We really skipped over the torture of Parvane.
Oh, yeah. Like. Yeah.
She's had it rough. She's been in prison for, like, a million centuries.
Yeah.
And everyone's kind of asking her for, like, how do I become powerful? How do I fix myself? And she's like, here's the answer. And everyone's like, you gave me an answer that ruined my life. And then they're really mad at her and blame her for it. Saraya at some point was just like so upset at Parvane because she told Azad about how to become like a powerful
yeah.
dude. And I'm like, you asked her the same thing.
Yeah.
She told like, you the same thing, hypocrite.
She's a div. This is what she does.
And not only that, she was imprisoned and like she knew you were fishing for information, so she was doing it to the best of her ability.
Yeah.
Because out of everyone, Parvane is like, I feel like the most victim in this story, and also the least appreciated person.
Okay. Interesting.
I also wish we could have seen more of her people. They just kind of disappeared.
The Parikes.
Yeah. That would have been awesome to see them coming in at the end. Because if Saraya went the route of, like, turning the Deevs against Azad and, like, sowing this discontent and, like, having the Deevs because they respect her. That was a cool scene, by the way, how she gained her their respect.
Yeah.
Because she's in this room. Azad is introducing her to the Deevs the first time he brings her to this evil mountain. And they just, like, tear chunks out of her and she lets them. That was cool as hell. That was awesome.
Yeah.
I was like, this is where she starts doing queen things.
No.
She didn't. She did nothing. She went to her room and took a nap and hung out.
Big mood, but also maybe not something that should be in a novel.
Exactly. Like, how... I love that scene. Because she's just, like, terrified, but also she... like, it felt powerful. It was a very powerful scene. And afterwards, all the Deevs were like, yo, she's crazy. So much cooler than this loser.
Yeah, they were very like, yas, queen. Slay. I can't do it. I can't do it with a straight face.
You just did it with a gay one. Okay. So many things in this book that were awesome that didn't work because they were not given the space and attention they needed.
Because,
No, continue your thought.
I was just going to say, I think this is maybe Melissa's first or maybe second work. I forget if it's her sophomore effort or not, but I think she has the potential to good book. Like, I think maybe keep her. I don't want, like, I feel a little bad because I know she's, like, not as big a name of an author as some of the other people we've talked about their books. Mm-hmm. But so if she ever hears this, we believe in you. We don't.
No, I honestly, she is a very strong writer. Like, I'm telling you, I already said it, but the writing is really, really good. And everything is there. I really blame the editors for this.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's just not edited enough. It needed a couple of more passes, just like content stuff. I feel like a lot of YA stories don't get that.
Yeah.
Which a lot of those stories deserve good editors.
Yeah.
And like, this world had the potential to be so rich. It could have been a trilogy, honestly. There were very distinct sections to it. Like, it could have been awesome if the first third, she was cursed the whole time. And then in the second book, she travels to, like, you know, fix her mistake of breaking the curse or whatever. And then in the third one, she's like, everything in her plan is starting to come together. Like, it could have been a trilogy. It could have been a bigger work. I don't mind that it was just, like, one book. It just needed content editing. And it was not given that to the extent that it needed it. I honestly will read more of her books when she writes them. Like, I think that she can write really awesome stories. Because this was fun.
Yeah.
And I really like the familiar relationships that she has in the story. Like, there wasn't that much animosity between them, which is rare. And it worked. Like, I didn't need her to hate her family. Like,
they implied the ending thing again seemed to imply that she had a lot of possible venom for people. Again, I don't know. It's just weird.
Yeah, it felt kind of... But once again, like, it felt like a very last moment thing of like, let's spice it up a little bit and have her actually be a little jealous of everyone.
Yeah.
I'm so upset at the editors. Because this book had just like miles of potential. That's my thought.
Okay. You keep, it's so funny. It's like a, it's like a, no, it's like a verbal tic of yours that you finish a rant and always say, "That's my thought." I'm gonna make you self-conscious now by pointing out the fact that you do that, because I feel like people are going back and listen to this episode. She did it like 3 times, didn't she, listener?
I always say right. You know how many rights I edit and how many still stay in? Right?
Right? Right? Right? I don't know. I mean, I have my verbal tics too. And my brother, who was on the podcast, apparently listened to the episode and got so self-conscious.
Why?
He like messaged me. He's like, "I sound like I have a lisp." I'm like, you don't have a lisp. He's like, "It must be my microphone. I don't have a lisp, right?" And like, I don't think you have a lisp.
He didn't sound like it. I think he just hasn't heard his voice on like a podcast.
Yeah,
but I wonder what you would say if you listened to our episodes.
I have.
You have.
I have. Oh. I know. I tell you that I don't really like ever want to, because I get very self-conscious about. It's actually less about my voice and more about like the stuff I say. And every single time I'm like, I'm the biggest idiot in the world, and why does anyone want to hear anything that I want to say?
Well, it's because you're a imposter
syndrome,
vertical.
imposter syndrome. But it's fine. I think I sound okay. Like,
yeah,
obviously, I don't know. Everyone, I think, hates their voice or finds their voice weird to hear, unless they're like used to it, I guess, like they've heard themselves a lot.
Yeah, editing this podcast really fixed me a little bit.
You know,
I would never take videos of myself. Like, yeah. I would hate videos people take of me because I didn't like my voice. It startled me. But now I'm like, I listen to myself talk for like at least 4 hours a week.
I always feel like, I have right here my voice. I feel like my voice is very monotone compared to how much emotion I feel like I'm putting into what I'm saying versus what actually like comes across when I hear it. It's something that always, I don't know. It's just, now that we're getting into this, it's just something that's always interested in me. It's just like, why do I sound so monotone? I thought I'd given plenty of emotion, but I guess I just, it's more subtle than.
For me, it's kind of the opposite. I'm like, oh, I was really cool, calm, and collected during this discussion. Then I listen back to it and I'm like yelling. Can you believe this? Come on, anyway. Colby. Now, after that.
Where did this even start? Anyways, thank you for joining Val and me for our little vocal therapy session.
We have a bunch of things.
Yes, we have a bunch. So this book was good. I know Val said that she'd have to have like some discourse before she'd recommend it to someone. But I feel like if you are in the extremely specific niche of wanting to learn some Persian mythology and also have a sapphic romance, this is your best option and probably, I think, only option. But here it is.
Yeah. Oh, we didn't even mention that, like, Parvane and Soraya are, like, girlfriends by the end.
I mean, it's implied. It's implied. But
yeah, they just fly away together.
Yeah.
And live in the forest, just like a lesbian would.
Yeah. Yeah. They just,
get
like,
a farm.
For safe society, we are going to live in the woods.
She sheds her royal garb and puts on a flannel.
Yeah.
Becomes a cowboy with her butterfly girlfriend.
Yeah.
Parvane could have been a manic pixie. She could have been really mean. There were so many things she could have been.
Yeah, she was kind she of should like have a been really calm mean. And collected pixie.
Yeah. It's because she's centuries old and she was psychologically and physically tortured for all of that time. And she's an outcast from everyone she loves. So she's just like, whatever. What can go wrong? It's already all wrong. I really liked her. She's great.
I don't know why I'm laughing at that, but I just... it's just... She's a good character. Anyway.
She's a good egg.
Any final thoughts, Val?
I think we just had like 4 final thoughts in a row and none of them were coherent.
No. We talked about flannel, voices. I don't even know. Okay. Thank you all so much for tuning in. This is the end. This is the final. No, I don't know.
For realsies.
Yeah. This is the end of the podcast. You have reached the end.
That's my thought. It's finished.
the achievement unlocked icon has shown up on your monitor and says, "Finish this episode. Congratulations. You've earned 10 gamer points. Thank you all so much for tuning in. I just want to mention some of our social media. We have a Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest. It is @InMediaLez. Our subreddit is r/InMediaLez, if Reddit still exists when you listen to this. And our Tumblr is...
thepodinmedialez.tumblr.com.
You can email us at inmedialez@gmail.com. Our website is inmedialez.com. We have a Discord. You can come hang out with us there. We're pretty cool, my mom says. Anyway, thank you so much for tuning in.
And we'll see you in the next one. I hope Melissa doesn't listen to this, because I actually have the highest respect for her as a writer, because it's a really good writing.
Melissa, if you do listen to this and you're mad at us and want to come yell at us, we will have you on.
Yeah, we will. I will be embarrassed. I would be deeply...
You just have to know how awkward Val is going to feel as a result of that.
I will be silent.
You will destroy her soul. So talk to you then. Okay.
And yeah, that's our thought. Hey everybody, thanks for listening, and please don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss new episodes. Also, it helps us grow, and we appreciate every single one of you who follows. And if you like us, tell a friend. Just be like, hey, these two lesbians are talking about other lesbians, gays, and like really queer people, and sometimes they even talk about non-binary folk. Once again, thanks for listening, and we appreciate you.